Glory to God. Let me ask you a question. How many of you want tomorrow to be better than today? You know, how many of you want, where I saw a sign the other day, school starting in 2 weeks. Man. How many of y'all remember when summer was all the way until September? You know what I mean? And now it's like, you know, they breathe deep. Oh, it's back to school. How many of you want next month to be better than this month was? How many of you here want next year? I realize we're only halfway through this year. Well, let's put it this way. How many of you want the last half of this year to be better than the first half has been? Okay, so we can agree, I think, that we all want, we're all looking for something better. Now, how many of you have found out that you tend to get what you expect? How many of you came to church today expecting to have a good time? Raise your hand if you came here expecting, you know, we're going to have a good time today. Now, I grew up in church, and I'm going to tell you something. When I was a kid in church, if I ever had a good time, I got a spanking when I got home. I mean, that's the way church was for me. If I did something where I had a really good time, I got a spanking when I got home. Because if we ever had a good time at church, we were shocked. When I say we, I'm talking about us kids. I grew up in Pentecost. How many of y'all know me when I say Pentecost? Now, for those of you who don't know, here's the deal. Our pastor ended every sentence in his message, ha! How many of y'all have ever been there? You know, I'm shouting, ha! Everybody, ha! You know, and he'd go for 45 minutes, and at the end, I never was sure what he said. I knew he believed it. I just didn't really ever know what it was that he said. And so, you know, I grew up in a church that was real big and real strong on telling you everything you couldn't do. You know, you couldn't do it. And if you did do it, hail. How many of y'all grew up in a church where hail had two syllables? Hail! When I was telling Pastor last night some stories, and I said, I apologize that so many of my stories of my youth, you know, were about rebellion and all kind of terrible things I did, but I said, that's who I was. I'm just being real with you. And I can remember on the occasion I would come to church, you'd have to have faith to believe this, but I had long hair, and I loved to dress wild, and I loved to shock church people. And if truth be told, I still do. But back then, unquestionably, I did. And I remember on the occasions when I would come into church, I saw the usher. First of all, mothers would get their small children and carry them off. And then the ushers would kind of cut me out of the herd like a calf, you know. They'd pull me out and get me over in the corner. I remember some of them being, where you been, boy? Using that club last night, weren't you, boy? Listening to that loud guitar music, were you? I bet it was hot in there, wasn't it, son? Hot and sweaty. Were you dancing? And I remember thinking, were you there? You are spot on, man. I didn't see you, but were you there? They said it was hot in there, wasn't it, son? Sweaty and hot. They said, you know what else is hot, boy? Hey, y'all! So that kind of was my early church upbringing. If I came to church and had a good time, I was shocked. We thought good time didn't start until somebody said, you're dismissed. You know, we look at each other. You going to go with us after church? You know, we're going to have a good time. This morning, we can have a good time because you're in. Not because you're looking to get out, but because you're in. And so I believe every one of you here are interested. I figure that's why you're here. You're looking for something better for your life. Something better for tomorrow. Something better for next month. Something better for next year. Can we agree on that? Okay, so I got the right demographic for what I want to minister on today. So I want to talk about, how does that happen? Can we agree, if you want tomorrow to be different than today is, you'll have to change some things? Can we all agree on that? Okay, well, let's pass that motion that in order for things to be better, some things are going to have to change. Now, you know, you talk to some people and you look at them, you're like, why aren't you happy? You know, their mate is next thing. You do the math. You know, And other people, it's not their mate, it's their job. You know, if I just had a job where I could be appreciated, where I could be paid what I was really worth, then I could be, it's my car. Every car I get tears up. I am so tired of reaching to the outside door handle. Wait a minute, rolling down the window. How many of y'all have ever actually seen this motion for a window? You know, somebody will go, rolling down the window so you can reach the outside door handle open. If I just had a decent car, I could be. It's my house. Man, if I had a better house, We live in the land of broken. Bungee cords, duct tape, that's what holds our house up. And people would lead you to believe. Now, clearly it's none of you, but I'm talking about somebody, this is probably resonating. You're thinking, oh yeah, I know somebody like that. That they could be happy if everything around them changed. If their mate changed, if their job changed, if their house changed, if their car changed. If everything else changed, well, then I'd be happy. But we've all agreed that something's going to have to change for you to be happy. You're happier tomorrow than you are today. Can we agree? But how many of you know God doesn't change everything around you so you can be happy? Oh, he's going to change you. In that regard, he's just like your wife. She's going to change you. Now, she's been trying for some time. You know, women, I've always said women looking for a husband are like a family looking for a Christmas tree. How many of y'all remember shopping for Christmas trees? I'm talking about live trees. You know what I mean? I love a live tree, and I remember looking, and I think this has got to be the kind of the mindset of a woman. You know, she's looking, and she's going, well, he's got all of his limbs. And then she looks, you know, and there's a few things that are wrong, but I could probably fix that when I get it home. And then she gets it home and finds out it's got a bald spot in the back or whatever. See, that's the deal. You're thinking, if I just had a different husband, if I just had a different wife, well, then I could be happy. No, you wouldn't. Because odds are you'd be complaining about them too. Because let's be real. In order for things to be better for you, it is going to require change. But what it's going to require is a heart change. See, and that's why you're in the right place. If you want tomorrow to be better, if you want next month to be better, you want next year to be better, you're in the right place. Change is what this is all about. City on a Hill is a church for change. But what we do here is follow the way of God, and that is he does all of his changing from the inside out. And not so much the outside in. From the inside out. You see, God will change the one part of you you can't, your heart. Did you get a new brain when you got born again? How many were disappointed about that? You're kind of counting on a new brain, you know? But why is it you don't get a new brain when you get born again? God doesn't change your mind, quite frankly, because you can. Ladies, y'all should be grinning real big right now, because I have found that is the gifting of estrogen to change your mind. That's your prerogative, girls, to change your mind. And, of course, men, how many married men do I have here? Brothers in the struggle. All right, you talk to any of the brothers in the struggle, and they'll tell you that if she changes her mind, he's going to have to if he wants to be happy. Otherwise, he's swimming upstream. So God doesn't change your mind because, quite frankly, you can, and you do. How many of you got a new body when you got born again? How many of you here were more bummed about the body deal than the brain deal? You know, what? God doesn't change your body, but why doesn't he? Because here again, you can, right? I mean, we live in a culture today where if you don't like your body, change it. You have a credit card? You can add to your body? Come on, y'all have seen them videos. You can subtract from your body? You can have both things done at the same time. You know, she's had some work done. So God doesn't change your body because you can. God doesn't change your brain because you can. That's in Romans 12, right? Put that up for us, that scripture, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, in view of God's mercy, that you offer your what? Your body as a what? How many of you know if you want tomorrow to be better than today, you're going to have to kill your body. How many of you learned it's your body that's got you in the most of the trouble you've ever been in? Huh? I mean, you could blame it on other people. You know, I teased Amanda. You know, I said, well, the two of you are taking this build a church thing pretty seriously, aren't you? From the ground up, y'all are principally doing this job. How many of you, there's maybe been little women running around that are pregnant and going, I don't know how this happened. Well, yeah, you do. It's our body that gets us in trouble. And so that's why Paul said, you have to put your body to death. It's a living sacrifice. Look at the next part of the verse. He said, which is holy and acceptable unto the Lord, that's your true worship. So in other words, your body is your responsibility. Amen. Say that. My body is my responsibility. It is. Now look at verse 2. He says, and don't conform to the patterns of the women on the View. But how many of you know that's what that actually says? Don't conform to the patterns of Hollywood. Don't conform to the patterns of ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, MTV, and all the other alphabet soup. But be ye what?
Transformed.
By the what?
Renewing of your mind.
See, ladies, you've got a head start. When it comes to obeying God, somebody said, woohoo, who was that? That's right. You got a head start. When it comes to changing your mind, that's what you've got to do. Whenever I minister on this, everybody put your hand on your hip. Get kind of a sassy look. This is the other thing I've noticed about estrogen. Guys go like this. Estrogen goes. Put your hand on your hip, everybody. If you don't have your hands on your hip, you're out of the will of God. Everybody have your hands on your hip? And you might go to hell. Put your hands on your hip. Say this, I've changed my mind. That's what God wants you to do, right? Don't conform to the patterns of this world. How many of you know if you think like the world, you'll get what the world gets? If you act like the world, you get what the world gets. You're going to have to change your mind. How many of you know, how many of you remember, how many of you grew up in church? Let me ask that. How many of you remember when they would give out your perfect attendance pen? You ever go, and here's David. He's getting here. David, come up here. David, come up here. Here's your perfect attendance pen. How many of you know they didn't get I've changed my mind pens? Why? Because how do you know you have to change your mind every day? How many of you understand just because your mind's renewed today don't mean it'll be tomorrow? Amen? How many of you know you could be born again for years, filled with the Holy Ghost, have 500 teaching tapes, be on your second copy of Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, and your third copy of Vine's Expository Dictionary of Greek Words, and still have a wrong thought come? You got to change your mind every day. Put your hand on your hip. Say it. I've changed my mind.
I've changed my mind.
So that's what Paul here is saying. You've got to renew your mind. You've got to change your mind. In the Bible, if you have to look at the next part of the verse, it says, so that you can discern God's good, pleasing, and perfect will for your life. Amen?
Amen?
And so that's what I want to talk about today. That if you want to change your life so that it's better tomorrow, so that it's better next month, so it's better next year, it principally has to start with being sure, checklist, that your heart has changed, that you have a new heart. See, that's the thing that God can do. If you today don't know Jesus, if you've never asked Him in your heart, the great news is you don't need a password. You won't need a pen. All you have to do is have the ability to say yes, and God will change your heart. Then how many of you know once you get your heart changed, you need to change your mind? Say, He changed my heart.
He changed my
heart. I got to change my mind. And how many of you know once you change your mind, you can change how you talk? How many of you know you need to change how you talk? Come on, I'm going to make you commit. Raise your hand. You all should have your hands up. We all need to change how we talk. What do you mean by that? We need to talk like He does. Amen? We need to say what He says. Let me hear y'all say, I heard what He said.
I heard what He said.
I like what He said.
I like what He said.
Don't you like the things God has said about you? I mean, He said you're the head and not the tail. You're above and ever beneath. You're a lender, not... Hey, just on the lender, not a borrower thing. I'm ready to sign up. He said, you're blessed coming in and when you go out, when you lay down or when you get up, when you're either in town or you're in the country. He said, that you're blessed. He said, blessings will come upon you and overtake you. Everybody look at your hands. He said, you got blessed hands. Say what He said. I got blessed hands.
Got blessed.
Everybody look at your feet. Say what He said about your feet. I got blessed feet. Say everywhere I put my feet. God gives that ground to me. See, if you've heard, say it. I heard what He said.
I believe what He said.
I like what He said.
Like
now say, what He says,
that's what I say.
That's how you begin to change things on a daily basis. You hear what He says. You believe what He says. You like it. You're going to like it, right? And then you start saying what He says. And that's how you start renewing your mind and changing your mind. And so what I want for our text to be today, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to the book of Matthew. And I usually preach out of the NIV. Today we're going to look at this passage in the King James, Matthew 12. And we're going to verse 33. If you don't have your Bible, it's going to be on the screen for you up front. This is Jesus talking. That's why if you have it in your Bible, it's probably in red. And How many of you know when you're studying the Word, it's important to break down? Let me hear y'all say, break it down. It's important to break it down and look at every word, because it isn't just the word matters, but every word matters. And when you understand how it's written and how the nuance of phrase is, then you understand the significance of it. How many of you have ever read this passage before? I assume if you've been around Christendom long, you've all read it. And if you see here, it says either make the tree good and its fruit will be good, or make the tree corrupt and its fruit will be corrupt, because you recognize a tree by its fruit. That seems pretty standard rationale on the surface, doesn't it? Tree's good, the fruit will be good. Tree's bad, fruit will be bad. However, say it again, break it down. The most important word, for my money, in this whole passage is the first one. It seems like an innocuous word, but it's everything in understanding what Jesus was talking about. What is the first word?
Either.
Whenever you hear the word either, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Choice.
Excellent. People are like, I'm untouchable, I'm on the back row. No, you're not. Not when him.
I see. Okay, good. How many of you know either means you have a choice? I mean, it's here and it's here.
So Jesus said, either make a tree good. What's inherent here? What's obvious? He's saying trees are not, but from the beginning, good or bad. It's about what?
It's about choice. Yeah.
He said you could either make the tree good and then its fruit would be good, or you could make the tree bad and then its fruit would be bad, because you can recognize a tree by its fruit. Now, how many of you here actually can recognize a tree by fruit? I can't. All. I mean, I can tell that's an apple tree. You know, that's an orange tree. Those are pretty generic. There's others, you know. That's a deciduous. That's a deciduous. Oh, news to me. How many of you know, if you ask me about some trees, all I can tell you is it's a big one. Huh? And how many of you like trees? Some of you don't have your hand up. How many of you like to breathe? How many of you know oxygen don't come in a bottle? Trees, even the Lord said, I'll give you a tree that bears a seed you can eat. How many of you here like nuts?
Yep.
I don't mean crazy people. I mean, how many of you like nuts? You know, he said, I'll give you trees that'll bear a seed you can eat. I'll give you trees that'll bear fruit that you can eat. But how many of you know some trees don't bear fruit, don't bear a seed? They still have purpose because they give us oxygen. Incredibly, they take in what we exhale, which is toxic to us, and they return it to us as pure oxygen. Let me hear you say, imagine that. So, you know, that's one free, you can, excuse me, that's one fruit you can recognize that every tree gives us, is it gives us oxygen to breathe. But he's saying, in order for the tree to be good, you have to either make it good or make it bad. It's a choice. Now, how many of you know Jesus was not really an arborist? He wasn't there to speak on horticulture. Everything but Jesus was parable. In other words, he'd give you a word picture. He tried to reach people where they were at. He knew they're all familiar with trees. These are country people for the most part. They're not city dwellers. Everything's a concrete. I was telling Pastor last night, I went to Georgia State University. Anybody here go to Georgia State? Concrete campus. I mean, there's a few trees here and there, but pretty much it's concrete. These folks, they knew trees. And so Jesus said, let's just reach them where they're at. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. But trees are not inherently good and bad. That's why the first word, either. He said you have to either make it good for the fruit to be good or make it bad for the fruit to be bad. Now look at the next verse, verse 34. He said, you generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of overflow of the heart, or the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, again, at first glance, if you listen to the first sentence, he's talking about trees and their fruit. And then in the next verse, he's talking about you people are vipers. How can you say anything good? And it would appear at first glance he's totally changed subject mid-message. But the fact is, everybody look at me. In the same way that you can recognize a tree by a fruit that it produces, how many of you know you can recognize where somebody's heart is? Because he said it's out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. How many of you know you can recognize where somebody's heart is by what comes out of their mouth? Say to me, my mouth bears fruit. Yes, it does. Say every time. Say anytime. Say all the time. Say every time, anytime, all the time. Every time, anytime, all the time that you open your mouth, it's kind of like walking around with a 5-pound bag of seed. Everybody get you a 5-pound bag of seed there in front of you. Hold it in your hand. Now just imagine that every time you opened your mouth, you're dumping a little seed out. Now, how many of you know if you're planting apple seed every time, what are you going to get? But how many of you know if you're planting ragweed, kudzu, huh? If every time you open your mouth, you're planting the seeds of anger, unforgiveness, bitterness, deceit, rebellion, what are you going to get? All of that. I mean, one of the laws of the harvest is you reap in like kind to what you've sown. Who here grew up on a farm? You did, ma'am. What did you have on your farm that we could eat? Corn. Glory to God. How many here like corn? What's your name? Debbie. Aren't you glad Debbie's family was on the job growing corn? Debbie, there's nothing you can do to corn to keep me from liking it. There's nothing you can do to corn that would keep me from liking it. That's a complicated way of saying, I like corn. I mean, and anything you do to it, I'm going to like it. We've got corn here. Would you like it? It's on the cob. Yes. It's creamed. Oh, I don't even know what they do when they cream it. But I like it. This is popped. Excellent. How'd you like to have been the person that discovered popcorn? This ear isn't any good. Just throw it in the fire. Oh, my. See, it don't matter what you do to corn, I'm going to like it. Now, Debbie, just a basic question. In order to get corn, what did your family plant? Corn. Wow. How many of y'all noticed she didn't even have to think? She just immediately said, well, we planted corn. How many of you believe her? I mean, she seems sincere to me. She's kind of looking around, and she raised her hand and everything and said, we did, corn. What's the point of that? Well, you see, here's the deal. When corn farmers put their seed out in the ground, how many of you know they don't go around to their neighboring farmers and say, would y'all be in agreement with us? We're rebuking squash and tomatoes. And we're believing God for corn. Okay, y'all be in agreement with it. Is that necessary? No. Because if you plant corn, what are you going to get, church? Yes. So every time, get your 5-pound bag. Say every time. Say anytime. See, every time you open your mouth, you're planting seed. If you plant corn, what are you going to get? Corn. Let me further add. How many of you know there's no such thing as an accidental harvest? There's never been a farmer's wife in the world who pulled the blinds back and went, honey, come here. Come here, what is it? I'm reading the paper. Come here. Come here quick, look. There must be 50 acres of corn out there. Shazam. I mean, no, that don't happen. People don't just wake up one day and they have this incredible harvest. No. Every harvest, everybody look at me. Every harvest you've ever had in your life, you purposed it. Stroke your beard. Go ahead, girls, just do it by faith. Stroke your beard. She looked at me and winked. She said, this is how I roll. It's true. I don't know how this happened. People say that all the time. Well, in reality, you do. Because your mouth has been speaking that for months, years, decades. Say it. My mouth bears fruit. Furthermore, he said, it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. Say this to me. My mouth advertises the condition of my heart. How many of you know we're all blessed and highly favored on Sunday? Huh? You ever read, how you doing? Blessed and highly favored. Glory to God. I'm too sweet to be sour. I'm his woman of the hour. I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. How many know we're all blessed on Sunday? Where are you at on Monday? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Well, we don't have to wonder about it. We'll just look and see what comes out of your mouth on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Say it again. My mouth advertises the condition of my heart. Every time you open your mouth, you're revealing your heart. That in the Bible. Where is that in the Bible? Well, that would be Matthew 12:34. Look at the next verse. Now Jesus really goes to the heart of the matter. He says, a good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth what?
Good
things. Whereas, an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth evil things. Now, are people just born good and bad? Y'all acting like you got to think about it. That should be proof to you. No. See, there aren't people just born good. I was born a Christian. My dad was a Christian. My mom was a Christian. I've been a Christian all my life. Furthermore, how many of you know people aren't born bad? You're from bad seed. So how did the good man become good and the evil man become evil? Well, you got to go back to the beginning of this message. Either. It's a choice. You see, the good man becomes good. He isn't just born that way. Now, how many of you know, parenthetically, I got to tell you, how many of you know when we're born, we're born into sin? I'll tell you this story real quick. I was ministering in Alabama, northern Alabama. I can't remember what city. And I'm driving to my room on a Saturday night, and I just want to get to my room. How many of you here are hungry, but you don't want to go in to eat? But you don't want to eat in the car. That was me. I thought, I want to get it to go, take it to my room. And so I'm thinking, what do I want? You come into a city, and if there, I'm out, every week I'm in a different city. Sometimes I'm in cities recurrently, like I do come here. And so I learn what's near my hotel, etc. But a lot of times I go in a city, I've never been there. And so, you know, I'm looking. What is there? What could be? And I saw a sign that said, pizza, hot and ready. And immediately I felt my baby jump within me because I knew I am also hot and ready. So I said, we've got a deal here. You have me at hot. I'm ready. And so I pulled in, and I went in and ordered my pizza. Well, it turned out the pizza was not hot or ready. And so I had to wait. And so it was one of these deals where you that little window. Who thinks, let's put that window, you know. So I was here, and so I was telling them what it was that I wanted, and I gave them my name. And then I went back, and I thought, I don't want to sit in the car and start the air again. So I thought, I'll just sit on the hood of my car. Now, how many of you have ever been in a group of people? Because there was other people around, obviously, waiting on their pizza, too. How many of you have ever been in a group, but you don't necessarily want to talk to anybody? I mean, I'm a people person. This is what I do. I love people. But there are times I just like to be still and quiet and alone. That's right. And so I sat there with that being my prevailing thought, and I tried to show that with all the telepathy I could muster, you know, that I'm just here. And there was a guy next to me, he goes, I see you're from out of town. I tried to act like I didn't even hear him. He said, hey. And I said, what? He goes, I see your tags, man. You from out of town? I said, well, it's a rental. You know, it said like Wyoming or something. I don't know. I said, it's a rental. I said, but in fact, yes, I am from out of town. He said, oh, you in for town for business or pleasure? And I could tell, this is 50 questions. We're too deep here. This is where this is headed. And I said, to be forthright with you, I'm not even sure I'll let you decide. He goes, well, what do you mean by that? I said, well, I'm a preacher. He goes, you're a preacher? I just felt my heart drop. He goes, man, have I got some questions for you. Oh, God. And I kept waiting, you know, call my name. If they'd have said Schmickenschmoofer, I'd have said, that's me, Schmickenschmoofer. Joel Schmickenschmoofer. Tuna fish and peanut butter. Yes, that's my pizza. It wouldn't have mattered what they called out. I would have gladly paid for it to get away from the, I've got some questions for you. But there was total silence from the little hole in the wall over there. And so he said, man, I just want to know something. He said, so you're a preacher. And he said, where do you pastor? I said, well, I don't pastor. I said, I'm in a different city and state every week preaching. He goes, well, what is the deal with you preachers? He said, all of you want to send me to hell. I said, what? I said, well, who told you that? He said, every one of you do. He says, you all want to send me to hell, don't you? I said, well, you don't even know me, man. I said, why would I want to do that? I said, I believe what Jesus did. I said, he said that no man had to perish. Nobody has to go to hell.
Either.
Choice. But I didn't get into that with him. I just said, no, I don't. He said, yes, you do. He said, all of you want to send me to hell. And I said, well, what are you telling me? He said, well, let me just tell you, man. He said, I'm a good guy. He said, I've been married for 23 years. I love my wife. I'd die for her, man. I love her. He said, I got two little girls. He said, and I look at them. He said, they're my life. I would do anything for them. I said, that's great. He said, yeah, but all you want to send me to hell. I said, what do you mean? He says, man, I love my wife. I love my kids. He said, I'm a good friend. He said, if I loan people money, they don't even have to pay me back. He said, then call me in the middle of the night, and I'll go and I'll help. I'm a good guy. But you all want to send me to hell. And so I realized I'm in this. There's no, even if they call my name now, I'm here for this. And so I said, let me say something to you, man. I said, I think I know what your problem is. He said, oh, I knew it. Here it comes. He said, go ahead, preacher. Tell me what my problem is. I said, I'm going to. I said, you've told me what a wonderful guy you are, that you love your wife. I said, I believe you do. I said, you told me what a great daddy you are. I believe you are. I said, I believe that straight up. I said, you told me what a great friend you are. I said, I'd love to call you my friend because I think you're sincere. I said, so none of that's your problem. He said, well, then what's my problem? I said, your dad. He said, you know my dad? I said, I sure do. He goes, wait a minute, man, you don't even know my name. He said, what's my dad's name? I said, Satan. I said, the reason I know your dad is he used to be mine. Because how many of you know when you're born into sin? Jesus said, you must be born again. How many of you know when you get born again, they don't want to ask you on judgment day, have you been born? We've all been born. They want to know, have you been born again? Some of you know when you get born again, you get a new daddy.
Amen.
And I said, sir, that's what I mean when I say you got a problem and it's your daddy. I said, I believe you love your wife. I believe you love your kids. I believe you love your friends. But I said, you can do all the good you want to do. That won't get you to heaven. And I said, that's probably what those preachers were saying to you, is that it's only the blood of Jesus. You can't do enough good. And so how many of you know, when the Lord was speaking here, he said, a good man is good because. And he says here, a good man brings forth good things. And where does he bring them from?
The heart.
The heart. And how does it get in his heart? Look at the word that starts with a T.
Treasure.
Treasure. What do you think of when you hear the word treasure? Now, I'll be honest with you. I will admit, you've ever seen The Beaten Path, Arrow, and then Off. That's where I've spent most of my life, is off the beaten path. So I'll just tell you, when I think of treasure, I think of pirates.
Yeah.
Hardy har. You know, an eye patch, peg leg, hardy har. Parrot on the shoulder. I think of treasure in pirates. If you've ever seen a pirate story, everybody's looking for the pirate's treasure, right? And what do they have to have in order to find the pirate's treasure? The map. And the map shows them where the treasure is what? Buried. So here's the deal. Say, break it down. That's what I'm trying to do for you. When you read a good man, he's not born good. He's not good because his parents were Methodist church people. He's not good because his people were Church of Christ people. He's not good because his parents both went to Rhema. He's good because of and what he's chosen to treasure. And what does it mean to treasure? Bury. You're good by whatever you've been burying into your heart. And how do you do that? How do you bury treasure into your heart? Everybody put your hand on your face like this and look up. Kind of give a pensive thought, appearance. By what you think. You treasure every day things in your heart. Remember in the Bible when the Bible says that an angel appeared to Mary and said, you're going to conceive by the Holy Spirit? She's the only woman ever who's got pregnant and said, I don't know how this happened. But the Bible says, if you read that, it says, and Mary treasured all these things in her heart. She took what the angel said to her, and she treasured it. How do you treasure it? Put your hand on your face and look up. By what you think. Daily, you're burying treasure in your heart. Right now, you are. You were on the way to church today. You will on the way home. You will while you're eating. You will while you're at work tomorrow. You will just before you fall off to sleep tonight. You will add treasure to your heart. And that treasure will either be good or it'll be evil. And who's that up to? Wave your hand and say, well, that'd be me. That's right. You and you alone. Everybody look at me. You know where your life's at today? It's where it is today because you are now at the convection point of all the culmination of choices you've made over your lifetime. You either have a smile on your face right now, or you hanging your head like Tom Dooley. First song I learned on guitar. Don't hang your head, Tom Dooley. A lot of Christians named Tom Dooley. Hanging her head. Why? Choices. Life is all about choices. Choices what? Choices in the beginning of what you think. Whatever your dominant thought is, that's the direction your life is always going to be going. Whatever your dominant prevailing thought is, whatever your default position is, when you just put your brain in neutral. Everybody reach up there and put your brain in neutral. Some of you are looking at me like, it's already there. I just leave it there. Come on, get your hand up there and put your brain in neutral. I mean, many of you, your default position is determined by your prevailing thoughts. Whatever you think about the most, that's the direction your life will always be going. Every time you come to there, a turn of the road, it's an intersection. Here's another thing I want to say to you. How many of you know life is full of intersections? What does that mean? How many of you know it's only at intersections you can change direction? I was trying to get to my hotel yesterday afternoon, Highway 20 and 400. And I'm telling you something, in Atlanta, they're in love with medians. I mean, everywhere you come, there's a median. You can't, no, there's a median. No turns here, absolutely, you know, no, whatever. And I realized my hotel's, I could virtually reach out and touch my hotel. I just can't get there because of all these medians and lights and people and all this stuff. And it's kind of frustrating. And so I had to go all the way up until I got to an intersection to change direction. How many of you know, everybody look at me, throughout your life, there will be times you're going to come to an intersection. And you've known for some time you need to change direction. Here's your chance. How many of you know when you come to those intersections, it's all about the choices you make. And whatever choice you make of what direction you go will always be determined by your prevailing thought. Your brain will say to your heart, well, hey, it's a chance. But you know, this is the way we always go. This is what we think. This is what the home office said. This is the way we got to go. If you tell me what your prevailing thought is and you show me the three main people you hang out in your life, I can tell you where you'll be a year from now, even 5 years from now. Don't have to know your name. Don't have to, but you don't know anything. You don't know my daddy. Well, the Bible says bad company corrupts good character. You hang out with people, that's what you become. You think those things, the Bible says you are what you think. Let me hear y'all say, that's what it says. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So your prevailing thought, what you're choosing to bury and put down there, how many of you know when shaking comes, everybody do this. How many of you had shaking in your life this year? Of course you have. How many had shaking in your life last year? Of course you did. How many of you had shaking in your life pretty much since you hit the ground? Right? I mean, that's the way life is. And let me just tell you, there's more coming. See, and here's the deal. When the shaking comes on Sunday morning, I'm blessed and highly favored. How many of y'all were blessed and highly favored when you got out of the house and you're driving to church, but then you get an argument on the way to church? Come on, y'all. Don't lie in church. How many of y'all have ever gotten an argument on the way to church? I've been trying to right till you get to the park. How you doing? Blessed and highly. I'll talk to you after church. We're blessed and highly favored. See, when shaking comes in your life, I said earlier, Your mouth advertises the condition of your heart. When shaking comes, what you've been treasuring is going to come out. There's no mystery to it. I may have used this analogy with you guys before, but I love it. How many of you here enjoy waiting on refills at a restaurant? I do not. That is right there at the top of my pet peeves in life, is wanting more whatever it is I'm drinking. And so I like to take my nearly empty glass and slide it to the end of the table and then have imaginary arrows going. So that every time that the waitress was, would you like a refill? Yes, I ordered the 50-gallon drum with the IV drip. Yes, I want a refill. And so I've actually enjoyed, it's a little more work, but I've enjoyed now that something that's come about largely through COVID and other things, convenience stores do this, they give you a cup and you go fill it yourself. How many of you here kind of like that? I do. I don't mind telling you. How many of you here, knowing full well that you can go get a refill at any point, how many of you here nonetheless fill your glass to the absolute top? Raise your hand if you do that. Yes. Every man in this room does, I know for a fact. You know why? You're a hunter-gatherer. Hunter-gatherer. And you fill it to the absolute top. How many of you here have ever filled it so full that if you stand and look at it from the side, it is actually higher than the edge of the glass? How many of you have ever seen that? And you're thinking, where's Isaac Newton to explain this? Well, I don't know, but we've got his brother Figaro. Figaro, come up here and explain. How is this Fig Newton? Thank you, David. Thank you so much for bringing that home. That's right. Fig Newton, the famous engineer. He later developed a cookie line. That's what most people know him for. But he started out as a tremendous engineer. And you look at that glass, and it's higher. Now, if you get that glass that full, and I trust at some point in your life, or maybe at every point in your life, you have. If you get it that full, on three, I want everyone here to make the sound that you make to remedy that problem. On three. One, two, three. Yeah. How many of you had to fast and pray to figure out, what could he be talking about? What sound is it? How can we know? You all know in your heart. If you get it that full, we've all done that. And I did it once, and I heard, Kim! How many know anytime your name has two syllables? Kim! What? And I genuinely didn't know why. Dinosaur. I said, what are you talking about? She said, why would you do that where everyone hears you? I said, do what? She goes, I said, oh.
Like all of you. I was like, oh, that was too full.
And she looked at me and said, well, don't fill it so full. I said, but it already was. She said, then pour some out. I thought I was going to need counseling. Pour some out. There are thirsty people in China. I can't pour any of this out. I did try to pour it out one time. How many of you here have ever tried to pour it out? It runs down the glass, down your arm, and then it's dripping. You know, I hope you're satisfied. At least I can find my way back to the table. But I knew I've got to come up with a solution here. Because I am not going to pour any of this out. But I realize I want to be happy. And so I've come up with a solution. How many of y'all have ever done this walk? It's all good. It's full, but it's okay. I'm blessed and highly favored. How many of you know you are, in fact, blessed and highly favored? Until a family of seven with five kids all under the age of five get up at the same time. And they bump into you. And what happens? Whatever's inside spills out. That's what shaking does in your life. And we've already agreed it happened in the past. It's happening in the present. It'll happen in the future. And when it does, it's an expose of what's been going on here and what's deposited here. The good man brings up good. When shaking comes in his life, when hardship comes, when he's told you've got diabetes, when he's told you've got cancer, when he's told you're in debt, when he's told I'm leaving you, whatever you hear, how many of you know that's when you revert to whatever your dominant thought has been? If your dominant thought is, I'm a victim, somebody owes me an apology. How many of you here know somebody like that? I mean, clearly it's none of you, but how many of you know somebody that that's their mantra? That's on their marker of their heads. Someone owes me an apology. Life doesn't give out apologies. Trouble happens to everybody. Shaking happens to everyone. That's not what's important. How many of you know sickness comes? How many of you know Jesus would never had to have been scourged if sickness didn't come? Amen? I mean, I know people who love the Lord who have gotten sick. That doesn't make them a sinner. What that means is here's an opportunity for God's glory to be revealed. And we can all link up with Isaiah 53. By his stripes, I was healed. Healing isn't something's going to happen tomorrow. Healing happened 2,000 years ago. I've always told people, it isn't that sickness never comes, it's just it can't stay. In that regard, it's just like your relatives. Huh? Baby, your sister can come, but now let's be agreed in advance. She can't stay. And how many of you know, like your relatives, sickness often looks better going than it does coming? I mean, y'all say it may come, but it can't stay. It's got to go. So you see, if you've treasured that by his stripes you were healed, if you treasured that whatever you asked for in prayer, believe you received it and you will have it, if you've treasured that you can speak to the mountain, if you've treasured that I created you in my image so that you may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over everything that crawls all over the earth. If you've treasured that, if you've buried that, then when the shaking comes, you're able to speak life. Amen?
Amen.
When your home burns down, when the shaking comes, whatever you treasure is going to come out. Say it again. My mouth advertises what I've been treasuring. Now, look at the last part. It says, the evil man brings forth evil. How did he become evil? It isn't because of his mom and dad. He can't blame it on somebody else. It's choice. People are good and evil based on their choices. And what causes them to make the choices they make? Whatever they've been treasuring. Whatever they sit and meditate on. That's why the Lord told Joshua, meditate on my word. Right. How often did he have to meditate on it?
Day and night.
Because how much is your brain working?
Day and night.
And how many of you know if all you're treasuring is anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, that's all you have to bring forth. It doesn't mean you don't have a legitimate claim to any of those things. It doesn't mean you haven't been hurt. How many of you here have been hurt? Go ahead and raise your hand. You all have. How many of you here had somebody hurt you so bad it could have changed the absolute trajectory of your whole life? Odds are it was somebody you should have been able to count on to love you who hurt you. Conversely, how many of you here have hurt somebody else? How many of you here have hurt somebody to the point it changed the trajectory of their life? Yeah, we all get hurt. We've all been a victim of something. As we say in the country, we've all been rode hard and put up wet. But it's how you respond when people mistreat you. How do you respond when people mistreat you? How do you respond when people are mean to you? How do you respond when things happen that aren't fair? All of that is determined by what you treasure. You said to me at the outset of this service, you wanted tomorrow to be better than today. You said you wanted the rest of this month to be better than the first part of the month and the rest of this year to be better than the first part of this year. And we agreed you're going to have to change. What you're going to have to change is what you treasure. You're going to have to change your mind. Put your hand on your hip again. Say it. I've changed my mind. How many of you know you have to change your mind every day? I mean, just because it was changed yesterday. Brother Hagin, you remember that line he had? Your mind will no more stay renewed then your hair will stay combed. Right. See, they're wondering, well, what would y'all know about it? I have memories. I have memories. Some people collect stamps and other memorabilia. I collect combs and brushes. I remember. Oh, I remember. How many of you ladies here did your hair today? Come on, girls, don't lie in church. How many of you did your hair? How many of you here get up a good 2 hours before you have to leave? Yep, you're in there. Your husband's out there thinking, is that a Dremel tool? Has she got a circular saw in that? What? Is she welding in there? What is she doing? See, there's not a one of you girls that got up this morning, looked in the mirror and said, well, I'm going to go with that. I'm going, look, come here, look. Doesn't it look like an S? No, a capital S. Look at it. Doesn't it look like an S? No. You all spend time to get it right, don't you? But how many of you know, no matter how much time you spent getting your hair right today, you're going to have to do it again tomorrow. That's your mind. Every day, you're going to have to take captive your thoughts. Paul said, cast down the vain imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. What is a vain imagination? How about this one? You'll never amount to anything. You're a loser. Well, you've done it now. See, that's what the world says to you. That may be what your dad said to you. Let's be real. Everybody in this room deserved a mom and a dad that told them, you can be anything you want to be. You can do anything you want to do. We all deserve that. Let's be real. We didn't all get that. There's some of y'all in here, here's what you got. What's wrong with you? You ain't got a brain in your head, do you? Son, I can look at you and tell what's on your mind. Nothing. Now, I'm trying to make that lighthearted, but if that was your dad talking to you, that ain't funny. You know what's really bad? As bad as that hurt you when he said that, one of the curses in life is the curse of bad parenting. And even though your dad said that and hurt you frequently, those same people say that to their kids. What is wrong with you? Can't you do anything right? See, here's the deal. When the shaking comes, when the trouble comes, what enables you to deal with it is whatever you've been treasuring. And if all you've been treasuring is bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, that's all you got to bring forth. How many of you know you can't make withdrawals if you've not made any deposits? You know, today we have GPS on our phones. But how many of y'all remember the day when you had to buy a GPS? Remember that? And here's what I used to marvel at. Here's this thing. And back, how many of you remember when they were like $200-$300? And then spend more to update the maps a year from now or whatever. And how many of you, I remember going through the directory of this thing, the information, you know, I'm trying to say the directions, and it had a thing, the manual, and it said, you can choose for shortest possible route. And I thought, well, I hope so. That's the only reason I spent $300. I've been every other way. I want the shortest possible route. So how do you become evil? Let me tell you the shortest possible route to getting to evil town. Unforgiveness. That'll get you quicker than anything. Man, I'm telling you, you can look at your destination, you'll be there in 10 seconds. Hold on to it. Maintain and take care of every hurt, every bitterness that's been run wrong. And that's all you'll have. That'll be what's precious to you. The movers come. How many of you here have ever moved? You know, you have movers come in. I don't know if you've ever had that. I haven't. It's usually us. But you know, wrap that twice. My grandmother gave me that. Well, that was my mother's china. Wrap that up. Wrap that. Be careful with that. Be careful. That's fragile. And then they say, no, what is this? It says bitterness and unforgiveness. Oh, no, don't touch that. That's mine. That goes with me. People hold on to bitterness and unforgiveness every day. every day they treasure it. And every day when the shaking comes, that's all you got. Is that all you got? That's all I got. You reap what you sow. Isn't that true, sister? If you plant corn, what are you going to get? So you want tomorrow to be better? You want next month to be better? You want next year to be better? You're going to have to change what you treasure. Put your hand on your hip again. Say it. I've changed my mind. How many know that's what God wants you to do? Daily. Daily. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Our thought life rules our entire life. Your thought life rules your entire life. Your thought life determines how you respond to trouble. Your thought life, what you treasure, determines how you deal with tragedy, how you deal with someone treating you bad. Your thought life determines how you deal with victory as well as defeat. If you want to change how you've been responding, you're going to have to change what you've been treasuring. Change your heart. Change your mind. And you can change your expectations. You get your heart changed, you can change your mind. You change your mind, you can change what you expect. Everybody's heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I never assume because people are in church on a Sunday morning that they're born again. Because I know how many years I went totally lost. I said earlier that life is full of intersections. They're the one time when God affords you the opportunity, based on choice, to change the direction of your life. The world, it never dawns on people who don't know Jesus to change the direction of their life until the last week in December. They think a resolution will do it. I've got a New Year's resolution. 10 days in, they've already gone back on it. They make a resolution for no chocolate. 12th of January, there's Hershey wrappers laying all over their floor. A resolution can't change your life. You're going to have to get your heart changed. That's the only thing that can change the direction of your life. And so I want to give an opportunity right now because this is really the most important thing, the most important moment of this entire service. You may be in this room with me. You may be watching this on your phone or on your computer. But if you're sitting there and you know, man, I want my life's direction to change. It's not about your automobile. It's not really about your house or your job or even your mate. It's about your heart. Let God change your heart. See, that's the one thing in your life you could never change. Only He can change your heart. And if you're here today, here's what's cool. You don't have to fill out any forms. You don't have to stand in any lines. The Apostle Paul said, all you have to do is believe in your heart and then confess with your mouth, and your heart will be changed. So if you're here today and you've never done that, and it's not going to be a confusion or I don't know if I have or not. Yeah, you do. Surely you can recognize the time in your life when you stopped everything and said, I admit my life is broken and I can't fix it. I admit I'm a sinner and I need a Savior to forgive me. If you've never done that, I don't care how long you come to church, you're not born again. But today is your intersection. The direction of your life can change as you get your heart changed. So if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus in your heart, but you're ready, you'd like to now. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you stand up.